it's Dave. A word about something I wear every time I'm on stage. One golden thread. My wife introduced me to this great line of clothing that fits just about any gig I do. Their shirts breathe, move with me, and stay comfortable whether it's hot, cold, or anywhere in between. I feel like my body and soul are in tune when I wear them. They're made from tree-based fibers, and every piece helps plant a tree. I'm an affiliate, and you can use the code in the show notes for 18% off at onegoldenthread.com. Feel free and gig on. Ready to finish that song that's been living inside you? Check out my 30-Day Power Song Lab. It's a private intensive coaching experience designed to help you write your best song. Apply at davegoodrich.com or see the show notes for more details. Welcome to 15 Minutes with Dave Goodrich, where music is life. From the beginning, I've always had a deep love for music. I've spent my life creating and perfecting my lifestyle to surround it. My life is an adventure in song and sound, and I'm excited to share what I collect along the way. Join me as we discover new ways to live a richer, more satisfying lifestyle in music. I'm your host, Dave Goodrich. I'm a performing singer, songwriter, producer, and music coach. I want to help you get better at what you do. Welcome back to 15 Minutes with Dave Goodrich. Have you ever noticed that we often confuse complexity with excellence? If something's difficult to understand, filled with technical language, or requires a 40-page instruction manual, we're tempted to believe it must be important. Somehow, complexity has become a badge for intelligence. However, my experience in music has taught me something very different. Some of the greatest expressions of mastery I've ever encountered were remarkably simple. Perhaps an even better word than simple would be elegant. An elegant solution removes everything that doesn't belong, while preserving everything that matters. Maybe that's what we're really chasing as artists. Not complexity or simplicity. Elegance. The place where nothing more needs to be added and nothing important can be taken away. A great example of an elegant solution can be seen in the movie Johnny English Reborn. If you've seen the movie, you may remember the rooftop scene in which Johnny English, played by Rowan Atkinson, is chasing a younger man through the streets. The younger fellow is incredibly athletic. He's leaping over walls, vaulting fences, doing backflips, running across rooftops. Everything you expect in an action movie. Johnny is right behind him. Eventually, they come to another fence. The younger man jumps, grabs the top, pulls himself over, lands, and keeps running. Johnny stops, looks at the fence, looks to the side, opens the gate, walks through, and keeps chasing him. If you haven't seen the movie or need a refresher, check out the show notes for a YouTube link to the scene. That scene brought a realization to light. I've spent a surprising amount of my life climbing fences that already had gates. That movie scene stayed with me over time because it asks a question I don't think we ask ourselves enough. What fences am I climbing that don't actually need climbing? How many problems have I created simply because I assumed the difficult way must be the right way? When did complexity become something we admire? Think about it. Somewhere along the way, complicated began to sound intelligent. Simple almost became an insult. If someone explains an idea in language everyone understands, we sometimes think, well, that can't be the whole story. But wrap the same idea in enough technical language, add a few impressive charts, throw in some acronyms, and suddenly everyone starts nodding, as if confusion somehow proves brilliance. I've never quite understood that. I learned that lesson years ago while I was studying music in college. Piano wasn't my primary instrument. I loved the piano, and still do. But compared with the piano majors, I always felt like I was visiting someone else's neighborhood. Still, as a music major, piano was essential. In many ways, I still think of it as the computer of music. The keyboard lays music out visually in a way that's beautifully logical and somewhat simple. Scales, intervals, harmony, chord progressions, modes, counterpoint. The architecture of music sits right there in front of you. If you've ever wondered why so many composers write at the piano, that's one reason. It simplifies relationships that can seem mysterious on other instruments. Towards the end of that college piano class, we had our semester recital. The top student in the class selected a wonderful, difficult piece. It demanded tremendous technique. She played it beautifully. I admired her tremendously. Knowing my own limitations, I chose something very different. A short Bach piece. Simple, elegant, nothing flashy, no fireworks, just music. I practiced it until it felt just right. However, after the recital, my teacher wasn't particularly impressed. But the pianist who played the difficult work walked over to me with a smile and said, "You know, that's a very simple piece, but you played it really beautifully." I've never forgotten that, because she unknowingly taught me one of the greatest lessons I've ever learned about music. Complexity can be admired. Elegance is remembered. That lesson has followed me far beyond the piano. I've thought about it while writing songs, while performing, teaching, building businesses, even while trying to figure out life. As I mentioned earlier, we seem to live in an age where complexity is celebrated. Sometimes we make things more complicated simply because complexity feels substantial, because it captures an important distinction. I love this quote, which is usually attributed to Albert Einstein. "Everything should be made as simple as possible, but not simpler." Simple isn't the same as shallow. Simple often represents the end result of tremendous understanding. Greg McKeown, in his book Essentialism, argues that the disciplined pursuit of less often produces more meaningful results than trying to pursue everything at once. John Maeda, author of The Laws of Simplicity, suggests that simplicity isn't about removing everything. It's about thoughtfully removing what doesn't belong. That sounds a lot like arranging a song, or producing an album, or even giving a live performance. Every musician eventually learns that adding another guitar part doesn't automatically improve the song. Sometimes muting one instrument makes everything else come alive. I've had songs where I've spent hours adding parts, only to spend the next day taking them away. By the end, the version that moved me most wasn't the fullest, it was the clearest. That seems to happen in life too. We often assume that more options create more freedom, more opportunities, more happiness. But psychologist Barry Schwartz spent years researching what he calls the paradox of choice. His research suggests that while some choice is wonderful, too much choice often leads to anxiety, decision fatigue, and less satisfaction with choices we finally make. Musicians know this feeling. Should I release singles, an EP, an album? Should I be on every social media platform? Should I write country, Americana, rock, jazz, singer-songwriter? Should I use AI? Should I ignore AI? Should I? Eventually, the possibilities become so numerous that the movement slows to a crawl. Sometimes the most productive question isn't, "What else could I add?" It's, "What can I remove?" That question changed my songwriting. It changed my performing, and it changed my practicing. When I was younger, I sometimes believed that a productive practice session meant covering everything, from scales to theory to sight reading, from technique to repertoire, from ear training to improvisation and composition. By the end, I touched on everything and improved very little. Today, my practice often begins with a much simpler and perhaps more elegant question. What is the one thing that matters most today? Is it one scale, one passage, one phrase, one song, one weakness, one opportunity. Ironically, my progress became much faster when my practice became much simpler. As I touched on in my piano story, there's another place where simplicity reveals itself: performance. I've watched musicians walk on stage believing they had to prove something. Every solo had to be faster. Every vocal run had to be bigger. Every song had to be more complicated than the one before it. Sometimes the audience applauds the effort, but the performances that stay with us are usually different. Think about Bill Withers singing Lean on Me. There isn't a torrent of notes. There isn't an elaborate arrangement demanding your attention. There is honesty, conviction, and space. The Beatles understood this as well. Songs like Let It Be or Blackbird don't overwhelm us with complexity. Instead, they invite us in. James Taylor has built an extraordinary career on the same invitation. When he sings, it almost feels as though he's sitting in your living room. Nothing about it feels forced. Nothing feels like it's trying too hard. That's much harder to do than it sounds, because simplicity demands confidence. When there are fewer notes, fewer words, fewer distractions, there's nowhere to hide. Every phrase, every pause, every breath matters. Miles Davis once built entire musical conversations around what he chose not to play. Silence became part of the music. That takes tremendous trust. It also takes maturity. I think the same thing happens in our music career. Sometimes we believe success requires adding more. Another social media platform, another mailing list, another camera angle, another piece of gear, another plugin, another course, another strategy. None of those things are wrong. I've used many of them myself. However, every addition asks something from you. More attention, more maintenance, more decisions, and ultimately more energy. Eventually, we wake up serving the system we built instead of the music that inspired it. Somewhere along the way, the architecture became more important than the house. Donald Norman, whose work has influenced generations of designers, makes the observation that good design often feels effortless. Not because it was easy to create, but because unnecessary complexity has been removed. That's true of instruments, performances, websites. It's true of conversations. And I think it's true of lives. Every now and then, it's worth asking, what in my music life has become more complicated than it needs to be? Maybe it's your practice routine. Maybe it's your booking process. Maybe it's your equipment. Maybe it's your songwriting. Or maybe it's the expectations you've placed on yourself. I've certainly been guilty of that one. Sometimes the most exhausting part of a project isn't the project. It's carrying around the imaginary audience while you're creating it, wondering what everyone will think, whether it's good enough, whether it compares, whether it will succeed. That's a tremendous amount of extra weight to carry into a song. Music has always responded better when I leave that baggage at the door. There's another danger worth mentioning. We can romanticize simplicity so much that we begin removing things that actually belong. Remember Einstein's quote, "Everything should be made as simple as possible, but not simpler." There comes a point where oversimplifying starts removing the very character that gives something life. A song with one chord may be simple, but it may also become monotonous. A practice session with no challenge may feel comfortable. However, it may also stop producing growth. A business with no structure may feel wonderfully free right up until tax season arrives. Simplicity isn't the absence of structure. It's clarity of structure. It helps us recognize what belongs and what doesn't. Over the years, I've begun asking myself one question whenever life starts feeling unnecessarily heavy. What is essential here? Sometimes the answer is one conversation or one practice session, one song or one friend, one afternoon walking in nature, or one beautiful melody played with your whole heart. I've discovered that audiences rarely remember the most difficult thing you performed. They remember how you made them feel. That young pianist at my college recital gave me a compliment I've carried with me for decades. She never said my Bach piece was extraordinary because it was difficult. She simply recognized that it had been played with care, with feeling, with respect for the music. Her compliment stayed with me far longer than any grade I received. Maybe that's because beauty has never depended on complexity. It depends on connection. And connection often grows stronger when there are fewer things standing between us. So here's something to think about this week. Take a look at your music life, whether it's your practicing, your performing, your songwriting, your business, or your schedule, or perhaps your relationships. Where has unnecessary complexity quietly crept in? And what one thing could you remove that would allow what truly matters to become more visible? Because perhaps mastery isn't found in continually adding. Perhaps mastery is learning what to leave out. And maybe, just maybe, the gate in the fence isn't there to make life smaller. It's there to show us the simplest, most elegant way home. Thanks for spending this time with me. Until next time, much love and much music.
To never miss an episode, click the subscribe button. To sign up for the 15 Minutes with Dave Goodrich newsletter, go to 15minutes.powersongtribe.media. That's 15minutes.powersongtribe.media.
Presented by Powersong Tribe, a songwriting adventure company. Own your song, own your power.